You are listening to Wife Teacher Mommy, the podcast, sponsored by Educate and Rejuvenate. And today we are airing an episode called Hope, Humor, and Inspiration with top-selling author Christina Kuzmich. It was one of our top episodes from last year, and it's time to re-listen to that one. I listened to it again while I was preparing for the next interview that I'm about to do with Christina. So you're going to want to listen to this one to be prepared for the sequel episode, we'll call it, that's coming out soon. So let's get going. Welcome to Wife Teacher Mommy, the podcast. I'm Kelsey Sorensen, a former elementary teacher and current homeschool mom. And even though I've been a resource creator since 2014, I've realized that printables alone aren't all you need in order to thrive as a teacher or homeschool parent. That's why I also created this show and got certified as a life coach to help you finally kick burnout to the curb and feel confident with whatever challenges come your way. With the right mindset strategies and new teaching inspiration, you're going to be well on your way to your best teacher life. Now let's go. I am so excited to be re-airing this episode. Like I said, the first time I did it, it was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done because Christina is such an inspiration to me. I've loved her for years, admired her page from afar. And so to get to meet her and chat for about an hour was amazing and ask her all my questions. And I re-listened to this episode while I was preparing for the one I'm about to do with her, honestly, in about 10 minutes that will be airing next month. And as I was re-listening to it, I was like, I need to put this in the feed again because it was so good. And I need everybody to hear this before we air the sequel that we're about to do. On this one, we talked so much about her story that we're not going to dive as deep into that in the next one and how she's created this support group for humans on her page. We talked a lot about how our best is not going to look the same every day and how to deal with our struggles and battles as they come up and having authenticity versus putting on a fake face. We talked about how the harder the day, the kinder we need to be to ourselves and how to handle our insecurities and just so, so much in this episode. It is chock full of hope and inspiration and a little bit of humor in there as well. So you are definitely going to want to listen to this episode today. And make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you can hear the upcoming interview that I'm about to do with Christina next month and also hear our amazing coaching panel that we're airing next week, as well as a big announcement about where Wife Teacher Mommy is not going to be the same. Wife Teacher Mommy, as we know it, is going away and something even better is coming in its place. So I'm really excited. Get ready. There's a lot happening over here. And if you want to connect with Christina face-to-face virtually, be sure to snag your ticket to Educate and Rejuvenate Summer 2024 because she is a keynote again for the second year in a row. We're so, so happy to have her. Okay, without further ado, let's get to this replay. Hey, welcome, Christina. I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited because as we've announced, you are a keynote speaker at our Educate and Rejuvenate event, which I'm so excited to have you at, but also just that you'll be able to provide some hope and humor and inspiration to all of those who are listening on the podcast today.
I'm so excited about the event because I don't know if you've seen my videos that I've done about teachers, but I have.
They're so good.
So passionate about teachers, and I get so annoyed with the just crap they have to deal with from parents. You know, nobody's ever fully happy and they have so much on their plate. And then I think about like homeschool parents. I don't know. My children would have disowned me if I tried to homeschool them. The amount of patience. I just have so much respect for people in your community, and I'm honored to be a part of it.
Well, we're so excited to have you. And I love those videos that you've done for teachers. I'm actually going to make sure that we link to some of those because they think our audience would really appreciate them. I love how you just give like people and women in particular permission to just be human, figuring out life. And I just love all the messages that you share on your YouTube channel and on Facebook. I found you on Facebook, I believe, like years ago.
Yeah.
And I've just been following you like from then until now. And I just love your story, but I know a lot of our listeners haven't heard it before. So can you tell us a little bit about your story from immigrating to America all the way until everything you do now?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm turning 44 and I seriously feel like I've lived like 90 years of life. I'm trying to condense this. When I was a teenager, there was a war in Croatia where I grew up, where I was born and grew up. And so we immigrated to America and never planned on staying here. My parents were like, we're just going to go until the war calms down. And then they eventually moved back as they always planned on. And I stayed. And that was a big adjustment. And then I got married right out of college and had two babies and then ended up divorced. And when the kids were 1.5 and 3 and just sunk into a super deep depression. I didn't have money. I was working various part-time jobs to barely make ends meet, but I had to rely on food stamps, and my kids and I were sharing a small bedroom, and I couldn't even afford a bed for a while until a friend gave me one. So I slept on the floor for a while. And I really believe that it was that time that inspired everything I do now. I sort of have this goal, and it's so funny because I've said this a million times probably, but I still get choked up when I say it. I've had this goal of I want to be for others what I needed when I was in my lowest. And so everything I create, whether it is a really just ridiculously silly video where I'm comparing the waves in the ocean to the cellulite I have on my thighs, or whether it's something really serious where I'm opening up about my struggles with mental health when I was a young mom, or pretty much anything I share, I'm always thinking, what did I need? And what I needed when I was at my lowest was somebody to make me laugh, because I feel like in my book, Hold On, But Don't Hold Still, I talk about how going through life without humor is like trying to eat soup with a fork. Like, yeah, you'll still get a lot of it, but you're going to miss out on so much. And I needed to feel less alone. I needed somebody to confirm that whatever I'm going through, someone else has felt it, cried it, screamed it, and they've made it through, and so will I. So that's that time in my life has really inspired everything I do now.
Yes. And I just listening to your story, I like did your book on audio, which I definitely recommend for everybody because you like get to hear you tell your story. And I mean, and they just heard part of it now, but you go even more in depth in your book, which is an incredible book. I just love how you took that experience and you were able to turn it into something where you're able to help so many people be able to relate and bring this community together. Like on your page, like in the comments, people are like helping each other out and everything. Like I've seen like people buy copies of your book for each other. And it's just like such an amazing community that you built. So I've just loved watching that.
I mean, it's been incredible because I don't even feel, especially on Facebook, that's where it, well, that's where you found me too, but that's where it sort of started. And later I joined Instagram and TikTok and all that. But my biggest following is on Facebook. And I really, when I think about my Facebook page, I don't even think about it as my page. I'm being serious. I think of it as the support group for humans who are just going through stuff, which let's be honest, that's every single. So that's what's been really cool about that page is I will post something and I'm more moved by the comments and the amount of times I've seen somebody be vulnerable in the comment section. You can tell sometimes that it might be their first time they've admitted out loud how awful they feel or how much they're struggling. And then just like dozens, sometimes hundreds of replies of people sharing their story and encouraging this complete stranger. I don't ever want to take that for granted or become numb to that because it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It really is. When people feel comfortable enough to open up and you're like, wow, it's your page where people were willing to do that, then you know that, like, again, it's not just about you. It's about this whole community of people willing to share and lift each other up. And I just love how your brand, you talk about like hope and humor. We need that hope and we also need to laugh. So I just totally relate to your brand. And when I saw that, like, ooh, maybe we could book Christina. And then when we like were able to, I'm like, oh my goodness, I feel like our teacher followers, they need this. Like they need the hope and humor. So we're really excited.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Okay. So one of the big things I've seen teachers struggling with lately is overwhelm, because they've had, as you mentioned, so much that they do and so much added to their plates during the pandemic, and not much was taken off of their plates. It was more just additional things being added on. So what words of hope and inspiration or encouragement do you have to share with our teacher followers?
I mean, I would imagine that, you know, being a teacher, just choosing that profession, you really want to do your best at all times. And you want to make sure that you are, I mean, there's so much too, like it's called teaching, but really you have to be a therapist and you have to, like, mm-hmm. there's so many things. You have to be, you know, a conflict resolutions guru. And then on top of just trying to do your job, hi, there's a pandemic that happened. And then hi, right? there's always a parent that's not happy for some reason.
Always.
Yes, always, at least one. And there's always something. I hear so much from my friends who are teachers, like, the thing I hate is the politics in the school, and you're not allowed to do this, and you are allowed to do that. And there's just so much added stuff. And I think trying to be that fantasy that you created of the type of teacher, like, I'm sure whenever these teachers decided, this is what I want to do with my life, you probably created a fantasy for the type mm-hmm. of teacher you want. And that's wonderful. Have dreams and have goals.
Yes.
Be aware that your best is not going to look the same every day. That doesn't mean it's not your best. It's just not going to look the same every day. And that's okay. And consider what you're up against. On days when you feel like this was not the best day, and this was not, I didn't do all the things I wanted to do, or I didn't handle a certain situation the way I hoped I would handle it. Instead of beating mm-hmm. yourself up, like, it's so easy. We all do it. It's so easy to beat ourselves up. Think about the impact you're leaving. And I've heard so many stories from people who tell me that it was a teacher, right, that made a biggest difference with this one thing they said. And then, you know, their teachers will reply to that and go, wait, I've said that and I didn't realize that would have such a strong impact on anyone in my class. Like, there's so many things that you're doing daily, even on what you would label your worst day, where you are leaving a positive impact on children. And I just think that's so powerful. There are so many kids, and some teachers know what's going on in the lives of their students, and some really don't. But there are so many kids that show up to school and they have a smile on their face and they act like everything's normal, and they have an awful home life. Or maybe it seems like a normal home life, but they've never been told by a parent that they are doing a good job or that mm-hmm. somebody is proud of them. And so to just have a person who is there and can be that extra voice in their life of affirmation is so powerful. So I would say, I love dreaming big, but maybe let's dream a little less big than the fantasy of you being perfect. Maybe a little less big, maybe like dream medium.
Dream medium. And you know what? And that's the thing. I feel like a lot of teachers find themselves in this, comparing themselves either to like their dream idea, but a lot of times, where did that dream idea come from? It came from pictures they saw on Pinterest or Instagram, and they're comparing themselves to that perfect ideal rather than even questioning, is that even really what I want? You know, is that even what my students need? And the homeschool parents too, like, we might compare yourself to the other mom in the homeschool co-op who seems to have it all together and her kids have the perfect outfits. But my daughter puts on these like unmatching outfits and I brush her hair, but might look a little crazy by the time we get there. And it's easy to, for a moment, catch myself like, oh, they look so much more put together. And I'm like, no, it's fine. Like, but
yeah,
I feel like we all naturally will compare ourselves in that way, you know?
Yeah. And it's really sad. I think that's one of the, honestly, most abusive things we do to ourselves. I know that word sounds dramatic, but I really think it's true. That is probably one of the ways we bully ourselves the most, if we're going to be honest. We compare ourselves. And to be honest, we're not comparing ourselves to reality. We might be comparing ourselves to 5 minutes of somebody's reality, a great day of somebody. But just through doing what I do for as long as I've done it, I have met so many people who will tell me, people think I'm perfect. People think my marriage is perfect. People see my Instagram feed and they think my home is perfect. They think my kids are perfect. And the truth is, I'm exhausted trying to portray it all like that. It's exhausting. And sometimes those people you're comparing yourselves to that you think are, you know, the perfect teacher, the perfect mom, or the perfect whatever, they're actually struggling the most. Because what is freeing and much easier is authenticity. And what is exhausting and feels like so much pressure and will literally drown you eventually into a deep depression is constantly putting a fake face and pretending everything is okay. So you don't know what somebody else is struggling to, but I can guarantee you, everybody's got their stuff. Everybody's got the stuffiest stuff. You just don't know about it. If you knew about it, maybe you'd be like, oh, I'm glad I don't have their stuff. I'd rather have my stuff than their stuff. We get this one life. And I just always think, what do I want to do with this one life? What kind of a mother, or for a lot of teachers, what do I, my gifts, my passion, what can I contribute? And then let everybody else contribute what they can contribute. But if you get distracted too much what everybody else is doing, you're going to waste so much energy and you're going to waste so many years of your life not being your best, your favorite self. I don't even want to say your best because I feel like that puts too much pressure. Be your favorite self.
Your favorite self. I love that.
And some of your favorite self will be a little lazier than others. And you know what? I think lazy sometimes is self-care. So there you go. Pat yourself on the back for that.
I think it's so true because we need to like listen to our bodies. Like, you know, some days we're like not feeling it as much as others. And our best, like you said, our best might not look the same. And I think that's something that a lot of us are like, I always have to hit this standard. And I'm actually really guilty of that as a business owner. I have big goals and everything, but that's one thing I've learned over the years is your best doesn't have to look the same every day, like you were mentioning. And
yeah. And one of the things, I haven't done a video about this, but I think I mentioned on a Facebook Live or something. So my oldest son, I've talked about this part, but my oldest son has struggled with mental health for the last 5 or so years. He's doing better now, but it got really bad at one point. And there's actually a video where he opened up about his mental health struggles. So you can, it's pinned to the top of my Facebook page. But anyway, one thing I did during that time that I really need to just make a separate video about is I came up with a new rule for myself. And the rule was the harder the day, the kinder I had to be to myself. Oh. And I just think that's such a powerful thing for teachers to apply because you walk into that classroom and really, let's be honest, every day it's like, surprise, what are we going to do? You have no idea. I mean, I feel that way as a parent of three and you're dealing with 30 students, you know, some teachers are dealing with, and you have no idea which kid is going to be struggling that day. You have no idea. You literally have no idea what you're up against. It is what's behind what door, right? 30 different personalities or however many, 20 different personalities. And I just think when you have that moment where you walk into a classroom and I can tell. Today's going to be tough. Today's going to be really tough. Just really stop for a second and go, okay, this means that I have to up the grace toward myself. I have to up the patience toward myself. I basically have to treat myself the way I would treat somebody, like a best friend who came to me and said, I'm having a really bad day. I'm really overwhelmed. You would never look at that person that you love and say, well, suck it up and you better be your best and you better be perfect today. No, you would be like, okay, let's take it easy today. Let's just be extra kind to ourselves today. So I almost look at it as like a seesaw thing or like a scale where I'm like, the tougher the day, the kinder I have to be to myself. And it's really, it sounds so simple, but that has really helped me on the tough days because it's just a really clear reminder that I am not defined by the things that are tough and I cannot control. There's so much that's out of my control, but what I can control is how I treat myself at all times, no matter what the world throws at me. The one thing I can always control is how compassionate, kind, patient, loving I am toward myself.
I love that and totally agree. And the thing is, like a lot of us, like we're so kind and compassionate towards our students or our own children, but sometimes we don't give that compassion back to ourselves. And that is what you're saying, that we need to be able to be willing to do that. And one thing that one of my friends said to me that really hit me before is she has a picture of herself in kindergarten up. And she's like, if I wouldn't say it to her, then I won't say it to me now. Like you're still that little girl. And so I actually have my little kindergarten picture where I have like my little total 90s, like early 90s, little bow in my hair and everything. And I'm like, if I wouldn't say it to her, I'm not going to say it to me now.
I wonder if she saw that from a video. I did a video like 5 years ago.
Oh, did you do that?
Yeah, I invited some friends over and I didn't. I just called some friends and I said, are you willing to be super vulnerable on camera? And I knew that they would, the friends that I called. And they're like, sure. And they didn't know that I had contacted their spouses secretly and said, hey, can you send me a picture of them when they were little? And so anyway, so I invite these women over and one by one, I had a conversation with them. And I said, oh, tell me some things you say to yourself. We all say mean things to ourselves. Go ahead. And it went from like one woman was just saying what a horrible mother she is and her kids deserve better. And another woman was saying, I gained all this weight and I know I'll never lose it. I'm too lazy to lose it and I'm a slob. And then another woman said, my mother used to have such a nice tidy house and I'm always a mess and my house is a mess and it's embarrassing. And they just went on and on. And then with each one, I said, okay, thank you for saying that now. And I blew them up 8x10 and I pulled out a picture of each of them. And I said, now I want you to say those same exact things to this little girl. Aww. And not one of those women could do it. They all broke down. They all got teary-eyed. And they were like, I can't. And I said, why? Why can't you? You just said it. Say it again. Just say it to the younger you. And they all agreed that it just sounds so cruel. It sounds so mean. And I said, but why are you choosing every day? That's a choice to be so cruel to yourself. And by the way, to be so cruel to the most important person in your child's life, that's you. You're choosing to be so cruel to the most important person in your child's life. And for a lot of teachers, the most important person or the most powerful person in that student's life. So anyway, if you want to look up that video, it's called The Things We Tell Ourselves and it's on YouTube and Facebook, but it was just like the realization in these women's eyes of, oh my God. Gosh, like it makes you realize how awful we are to ourselves. And as somebody who, when I was going through my stuff after my divorce and my depression, I genuinely hated myself. I genuinely believed my kids would be better off without me. I know how much work it takes to go from that to where I am now, where I will, even if I'm having a bad day, I will find something good to say to myself. I will find it. It takes a lot of work, but man, my life, my confidence, my happiness, my sanity is so much better just with that one change I made on how I speak to myself.
It's such a powerful change to make. And Christina, I didn't even know you had that video. I've seen a lot of your videos, but there are so many that I haven't seen that one. So I can't wait to look at it and find it. And I think that also shows that likely my friend, there's a very good chance that she did see that video and then she shared it with me. So it really shows that the ripple effect of like when we teach other people and then they teach other people. And that's what teachers or homeschool moms do too. It's like they're teaching their children or others around them in their communities. And then there's just that ripple effect of that like legacy we leave. And so when we put out these messages of hope or encouragement, it just travels through everybody. And I love the thought of that.
And speaking of the ripple effect, that makes me think of teachers. And it's, I think as a parent, my children will learn much more from how I live my life and how I treat myself than anything I preach at them. I can sit them down and tell them how proud I am of them and how beautiful they are and they're smart and all this. But if they hear me bashing my body and my intelligence and calling myself an idiot or saying, oh, I really screwed up today. I can't believe I did that. They're learning from that. They're learning how to speak to themselves from that. And I think about teachers, like by speaking kindly to yourselves, by just being that example of, I don't have to be perfect in order to be lovable.
Yeah.
Like, especially because perfection is an illusion. It doesn't even exist. But right. I am a human who will make mistakes because adulthood, just as much as childhood, is full of growing pains. And that's okay. And there's a big difference between beating yourself up and holding yourself accountable. And so when I do screw up, instead of sitting there and beating myself up, which is just going to leave me stuck and feeling like a loser, which has never helped anyone thrive in life, I'm just going to hold myself accountable and go, yeah, I screwed up. Not because I'm a failure, I'm a loser, but because I'm human and humans are supposed to screw up. And I'm going to take from this and I'm going to learn from it. And if I screw up again in the same way, that's okay too. Because again, I'm not inadequate. I'm human. I mean, just be that kind of influence on the next generation. Maybe they can grow up without letting that evil roommate that lives in our head that's constantly... Maybe they can learn to like lower the volume on that.
Yes. And that's what I've been talking about a lot with our teachers is when we learn this for ourselves and we're an example to the children, we can help the next generation to have fewer. I mean, we're not going to eliminate it. A lot of this is like natural and things we're going to do because we're human, but we can teach them the skills to navigate this through example or even through like explicit teaching, like sharing what we do and sharing what we struggle with and then how we overcame it. So I think there's a lot to be said for the difference we can make, not only in teaching them like math or reading, but also the coping skills and things that we can teach them just through example.
Yeah. And what you said about a second ago about we're never going to get rid of it completely. The way I look at it is for a long time in my life, I allowed insecurities to lead. Like insecurities were literally like, hey, Christina, we're going to do this now. Nope, we're not going to do that. They were the boss, right? And now I think of insecurities as that weird relative. We all have one. If you have one, that means you are the weird relative in your family, FYI. Who will show up at Thanksgiving and you're like, Mom, do we have to have so-and-so come? Yes, they have nowhere else to go. And they show up and you used to allow them to ruin your whole day because you would sit next to them and you would get into a political argument with them and they would make some snarky comment about whatever you're wearing or whatever. And you just let it ruin your whole day. And now I look at insecurities as, okay, you're that relative who's going to show up. I acknowledge that you are present in this home, but I will not let you ruin my day, lead the conversation, get into an argument with me, tell me who I am or what I'm worth. No, I know you're here, but I will give you zero power. And so when I have my insecurities pop up, I don't try to just go, no, I don't want to feel that insecurity. That's unrealistic. I will literally sometimes say out loud, I think my family thinks I'm crazy because I talk to myself so much. I will say out loud to myself, I acknowledge that you're here insecurity, but I'm not playing game right now. Okay. You're going to sit down and you're going to shut up and I'm still going to do my thing. And sometimes you have to say it out loud because it just saying things out loud just make them more powerful. But yeah, trying to get rid of all your insecurities. That's not what we're talking about. We're just saying they're going to show up. Stop giving them power. Stop letting them lead. They should be behind you, never in front of you.
Yes, I agree. And sometimes, like you said, that we're trying to push them away, that actually makes it worse because we're not acknowledging it. We're just letting it bubble up inside of us. When you say it out loud, you're being like, hey, I'm acknowledging it's there. And now I'm going to do this. I'm not letting it have the power. So I think saying it out loud actually gives us more power over it.
Yeah. And trying to fight it or trying not to feel it. Like, I don't want to feel insecure about this. I just don't want to feel it. All this is doing is creating another struggle.
Yep.
Nobody on this earth, I don't care how lovely your life is, nobody on this earth needs another struggle. So decide, I'm not creating another struggle in my life by trying to fight this. It's that whole let it go, like Zen yoga, whatever, like thing you got to embrace and go, oh yeah, insecurity, you showed up today. Oh, that's great. Well, you can sit down over there. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to try to kick you out. You're welcome to sit here. But guess what? You have no power over me.
Exactly. And I think that is just such a powerful thing that most of us don't do. Or most people listening, they're like, naturally, we don't do. We try to do the more fighting it and everything and creating that additional struggle. But if we can acknowledge it and move forward, that's just such a more powerful way to be able to take the power back, basically.
Yeah. And I find even, and I'm sure teachers can relate to this, I find in parenting, I've had to do that where, again, when my son was really struggling with his mental health, I was like in this, I need to fix this and I need to change this and I need to do a million things to make this better mode. And that anxiety, I call my anxiety Berta. I don't know why. I just named her Berta.
I love that.
Berta would show up and be like, Christina, you're not doing enough and blah. And it was when I finally decided to go, I'm only going to control what is 100% within my control. And again, pretty much that boils down to how I treat myself. Let's be honest. That's pretty much what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. When I decided to do that, it was so much easier for me to go, okay, my child is having a bad day right now. And I'm going to love and support, but I can't fix everything. And that's okay. And I think teachers probably have that too, where they show up and a kid is behaving a certain way. And you just feel like, oh my gosh. Like I cannot handle this kid one more time acting out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And control this child. This is not even my child. This is somebody else's child. I can only control what I can control. My gosh, when we start doing that, there's just this freedom of, oh, I'm not obligated to make everybody else perfect. I'm not obligated. Like, I don't actually have the power to make everything look perfect. There's a freedom in that. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, all this stuff, all this heavy stuff I've been carrying has just been taken off me. And I can just focus on what I know and what I have power over.
Yes. And I think that's what you're talking about in your keynote at Educate and Rejuvenate, right? Your title is "Don't allow the few things that are completely out of your control to complete." Wow. Okay. I'm going to say that again. Good thing we edit these. Don't allow the few things that are completely out of your control to control you completely. And when I read that title, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good one, because I think so many of us naturally, we let those few things control us and take over our mind. And we just think about it and we ruminate on it. And then we're allowing it to control us completely. So I'm really excited for this. Can you tell us why you think this is important and why you picked that for your topic for Educate and Rejuvenate this year?
Well, because I personally, not to brag, am an expert at trying to control everything and everyone. Again, thanks to Berta.
But, Berta.
And that's one of the most powerful things. And I'm not going to tell the whole story here, but I will share a story. I'll share a couple stories in the keynote from my personal life that really taught me how much better and easier and healthier and saner life gets when I don't allow those few things to completely control me. There's another video. I seriously want to just send you a list of videos that I feel like teachers should watch. And again, this one's not about teaching, but it's just about humans. Did you see the video I did with M&Ms?
Yes, I love that one.
So I think I named, I always forget the titles of my videos. I think it's something like,
if you would keep track with how many you have. It's incredible.
It was called something like, why would anyone make this choice? But basically, for anyone that hasn't seen it, and the crazy thing, this is the only time this has ever happened to me. This video idea came to me in a dream. I actually had the dream. In fact, when I did the video, I was like, I have to wear a navy blue thin sweater because that's what I was wearing. I wanted it to really just be a recreation of this dream I had. I woke up from the dream and I called my team that films my videos. And I was like, we need to film a video today. I just had a dream and I want to put in a video. But anyway,
the video. I love that.
I am standing with these two large empty jars, glass jars next to me, one on each side. And you hear all these compliments, you know, voiceovers. Oh, Christina, you're so smart. You handle that so well. And every compliment that happens in one jar, an M&M is dropped. And basically slowly through all these compliments and praises, that jar gets full of M&Ms. And then all of a sudden, there's just one sentence that somebody says, you're not good enough. And one M&M goes in the other empty jar. And I look at both jars. I knock over the one full of M&Ms. It shatters. And I take the one with that one M&M of you're not good enough. I place it close to my heart and I walk away. And that is exactly what we do. We allow the few things that are completely out of our control or are negative in our life, that voice that either we're giving ourselves or somebody else is giving us, or the message we were sent from our childhood or from wherever that we are inadequate. We take that one little speck and we will hold it close to our heart and treasure it, and we will carry it, and we will completely destroy and ignore all the good, all that we can control, all the good we have contributed, all the good qualities we have. It's something that seems to be a thing with every human. I don't know why we're born that way, I guess. But I'm a very visual person. So just a lot of times I'll make a video, but then I need it. And so I made that video like 3 or so years ago. I still will think, hold up, which jar am I going to focus on right now? Am I going to really destroy the jar of, again, good example for teachers, of the 100 things I did right today and the 100 things I actually accomplished today, because I'm going to be mad at myself about that one thing that I planned on getting done that I didn't, or that one situation I didn't handle well with a student or a parent or a coworker. No, I'm going to focus on all the good I put into the world today. And unless you're like a sociopath, evil human being, you are every day putting more good into the world than bad. You just are. Problem is not acknowledging it. In my first book, Hold On But Don't Hold Still, I write a lot about learning to give myself more credit than criticism and more grace than judgment. And that has been huge for me, huge. And at the end of, I used to do this every single night when I laid in bed. I used to just decide, and I should probably still practice it, but I used to go, I am not going to focus right now on the to-do list and all the things I didn't get done and blah, blah, blah. I'm only allowed before I fall asleep to focus on the ta-da list. And my ta-da list is I got out of bed even though I was really tired, and I loved on my children, and I showed up to work, and just these little things that we completely overlook, but they matter. They matter. Mm-hmm. So more credit than criticism, more grace than judgment. And if you want to sleep better at night, ignore the long list of things you didn't get done. Ignore the long list of things you feel like you handled awkwardly or the things you feel guilty about, and just make a rule for yourself. When I'm in that bed ready to fall asleep, the only thing I'm allowed to focus on is my ta-da list. And do not think that ta-da needs to include, oh, I cured cancer. No, it can literally be, I was really loving to my children, even though I really just wanted to sleep all day because life is hard.
Yes. And I love that concept of the ta-da list. And also even just that quote, like the have more, give yourself more credit than grace. Wow. No, credit than criticism, more grace than judgment. I actually put that on my bulletin board. I like printed it out and had that quote up there because I love that quote. And I think it's something that I needed to remind myself of a whole lot. And I think as a teacher and now as a homeschool mom, and I think many teachers and homeschool moms also need that. So I'm really glad you shared that here today too. I have one other thing I want to ask you before we get into wrapping up, because I know you're really good at helping people feel less alone in the world. And one thing that has come up, so we do coaching inside our Wife Teacher Mommy Club group. And one thing that has come up before is there's really in the teacher space, like on Instagram and everything, there's this whole like teacher bestie is kind of like a buzzword. And then there are teachers who feel like, I don't have that teacher bestie. Like, I don't feel like I have somebody, or I just feel alone in my teaching. And a lot of homeschool moms feel the same way. Like, I remember even being afraid to tell people. That's what we decided to do. Like, it makes you a little bit different than the moms who are sending their kids to school. And you're like, do they think that it's just different, you know? And I was worried they were going to judge me, which is funny because they thought I was judging them. And it's all kinds of just mind drama we get ourselves into, right? But really, I think a lot of times they just feel alone in their teaching and whatever they're doing. And especially if they don't have that like teacher bestie or whatever. So how can a teacher feel less alone in what they are doing, or a teacher or a homeschool mom, or just anybody who happens to be listening to this podcast today?
Yeah. I mean, I really believe in community, and that's why I love what you guys are doing, because you're creating that community for people to feel less alone. But what I found is, and again, I'm coming from my story is completely different. I'm not a teacher, but when I was feeling alone in all my crazy feelings and, you know, being divorced and struggling, what I found is the more I was open and vulnerable and authentic, it actually attracted other people who were craving that authenticity and vulnerability. And so I think put that out there, like whether it's with your friends in your personal life or your neighborhood, or whether it's, you know, if you're on social media or however, don't be afraid to be completely vulnerable and authentic. And yes, will some people judge you? Absolutely. People still, I mean, I try to encourage people for a living, and people still hate me for it. Somebody will find something, right? I'm completely, like I had a video where I talked about miscarrying twins and I got hate on that. And can you imagine like getting hate on that kind of video? So what I'm saying is, yes, it's really scary to be vulnerable and 100% authentic and share how you feel and share your struggles and share your things you're nervous about, because you're worried about being attacked. So just know, yes, somebody will not like it, but that's not why you're sharing your vulnerability. The people that need to hear it and the people you will attract into your life feel that and maybe are scared to say it. And that's how we find sort of our quote unquote bestie or whatever. But I also think there is so much pressure in this society to have that best friend and that one, I don't know. I just see it so much all over marriage. Like people do that, like, oh, my marriage is perfect. And then somebody who's like struggling or doesn't have that perfect partner or is single is like, oh my gosh, my life is sucks because I don't have that one person. You don't need the one bestie. And by the way, even those relationships are not ideal. You need a community. That's what we need. We need a community. And by the way, it's not even necessarily going to be one community. You might have one community that can relate to your homeschooling stuff, and another community that can relate to other stuff. And that's okay. I think there's too much pressure to find that one perfect friend that's just going to get you, and that one perfect spouse that's going to, you know, solve all your problems. And again, we're chasing something that we don't actually need. We're just chasing it because the internet or the world is telling us that that's what we're supposed to have in order to be normal or happy. So I say, put yourself out there and it will attract. I really believe that it will attract people who maybe needed somebody to say it out loud for them, and it'll bond you in a way that is better than any sort of hashtag bestie. Now, I'm not making fun of that. I think it's great.
Right.
I just don't think it's just like, I think it's like, I'm happily remarried now, but I don't think everybody has to have that in order to have a great life. So
yeah,
I guess that would be my other thing that's helped me in life, is just not chasing whatever the world has said is the ideal. Mm-hmm. And probably the people that are chasing the bestie, they probably have a lot of amazing people in their life, and maybe don't even realize how much those people can relate in different ways. Maybe it's not a fellow teacher. Maybe it's somebody who has a completely different job, but can relate to the insecurities and the,
yeah. You know,
most of my friends don't do what I do for a living, but I have found so much comfort in just sharing our insecurities and our worries and all of that. So yeah, I don't know if that's or not, but that's what's worked for me.
Oh, I think that was great, because I agree. We don't need that one bestie, because think about it. If you put all of that stake into just one person and something happens, like, you know, you put it all into just one, which, I mean, it's great to have a teacher bestie, but I do feel like community is really where it's at, because you have just all this support and you can support each other. And then also not taking the relationships you do have for granted, you know, because a lot of times we're like seeking out for like, oh, what don't I have? What don't I have? But it's more looking at what do I have? And having that gratitude for that. And we can realize that, okay, maybe we do have it better than we thought. We were just, again, doing the comparing on Instagram thing.
We humans are so, I know I'm like generalizing, but I really believe like a lot of humans struggle with the same stuff.
Yeah.
We humans are really good at rejecting something just because it didn't show up the way we envisioned it should be. We're really good at that. And so people show up in our lives and we will go, yeah, but I really wanted a teacher bestie, or I really wanted this, or I really wanted that. And my advice would be, stay open. Don't reject something. And that's not just for people. That's for like career opportunities or whatever. Don't reject something just because it didn't show up the way you decide in your mind what it should look like. Because you might be rejecting some really, really good people and some really good stuff in your life.
Yes, because sometimes there's something even better than what we had in mind. And we're just like, we're so set on looking at, no, but this is how I wanted it. But if we can open ourselves up to, it might actually be even better this way, then we can just learn so much from that and lean into that, because we can't always force everything to go exactly the way we want it to, even as much as we want to.
I just filmed a video recently, and it hasn't been released yet, where I talk about how basically somebody sent me a question, what's your best advice for pursuing a dream? But I would say this is great advice for anything you're pursuing, a friendship or anything. And I said, be stubborn, but flexible. And when I replied that to the woman, she said, okay, well, that's kind of contradictory. And then I made a video about it where I talked about how be stubborn about not giving up. Like, people give up too soon. Well, I'm never going to find this friend, or I'm never going to find this, you know, have my dream come true or whatever. They give up too soon, or they're not flexible about the timing and the way it's going to show up and what it's going to look like. And then they reject it. So that for me has really helped me in so many different ways. Be stubborn, but flexible.
Oh, I love that. I love that way of thinking about it. And I can see how she's like, oh, that's contradictory. But no, I totally get what you're saying, because you can know like a general idea of this is what I want. But if you're too specific about it and you're not flexible, then you might not be open to the ways it can actually happen. So
yeah. And unfortunately, and it's gotten way worse with social media, we are constantly being sent messages of what that something that we desire should look like. And then in our life differently, we're like, nope. Now, we're not thinking this consciously, but subconsciously, our brain or whatever is telling us, that's not how it showed up on Instagram. That's not what it looked like.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
perfect mom at school pickup, or that fellow teacher. That's not what theirs showed up as. So this is not right. This is wrong. I mean, it's just so dangerous. I basically just call them lies. The amount of lies we are told every day by the media, by social media, by lies we tell ourselves by comparing ourselves and assuming somebody else is perfect, right? And if somebody actually sat you down that morning and said, okay, I'm just going to warn you. All the things, here are exact things you're going to see today. Here are the exact people you're going to meet today. And I just want to know you, tell you they're all liars. It's all a lie. You would go through that day completely differently. You'd go, oh, okay, well, that's a lie. Oh, okay, that Instagram post, that message that the world is sending me that I'm supposed to look like that or act like that or teach like, that's a lie. If you actually knew ahead that those are lies, you wouldn't react to them so strongly and beat yourself up and feel inadequate. So I think the key is to decide what is my truth and what is the truth for my life, for my abilities, for my passion, for my goals, for how I want to parent, for how I want to teach, for, you know, gifts I was born with, the natural talents I have, combined with the passion I have. What is the truth about what I can do with that? Not what somebody else can, not what so-and-so said or that post said I can or should. Just what can I, what is my truth? Man, that cuts down on so much unnecessary abusive pressure.
Absolutely. And that reminded me when you were saying that about your book that's coming out that I'm so excited about, where I'm sure you're going to be sharing even more about this. And it's called The Lies I Told Myself, something like that.
Yeah. So it's, again, it's about me trying to support my son through mental health. Yeah. Struggles. Really honest about it and about all the mistakes I made. And it's called I Can Fix This and Other Lies I've
Told Myself. Yeah. I knew it was something like that.
Yeah. Chapter actually is a lie, you know? So just a lie I told myself, and I can fix this. I can control this, whatever. And writing that book, I really felt like I need to write this book because I need to, you know, help anyone or just make anybody feel less alone who has ever either struggled with mental health or tried to support someone. It's not necessarily just for parents who are raising a kid who's struggling. It can be a spouse is struggling. Your best friend is struggling. Your mother is struggling. And so I was like, I'm going to put our story out there. I had my son's blessing. He actually contributed to the book. And I felt like I was going to put something good into the world. And while writing it, I was like, oh man, I need this. Like literally I'm writing it. I'm like, this could be a freaking like therapy diary something session because it was like putting a spotlight on the lies I've told myself. Cause it's one thing to say, oh, I know that was a lie I told myself. But once you're writing a 60,000 page book, that would be way too long. 60,000 word.
That would be a little long, wouldn't it?
I don't even know if the Bible's that long. A 60,000 word book, you're really having to dig in. And so it's turning into a book that's more like my own therapy session. If anybody else gets something out of it, great, but I got a lot out of writing it. So,
well, I cannot wait to read and listen to it. Yours are one, like my favorite authors. I get both. I'm like, I have like the physical copy. This one you signed, actually. I met you twice in Salt Lake when you came here. And actually the second time you're like, have we met before? And I was like, yeah, we have.
I know.
It was fun.
You know what? Salt Lake City. So you're in Salt Lake?
Yes.
So Salt Lake City was like one of our biggest responses whenever we post that I might be going there. Like I did speaking gigs there and stuff. So that is actually on the top of the list for my agent for the next tour. He was like, this is really going.
And well, I will be there again.
And that show is all about my control issues and Berta. Yes, I will be bringing that. Like, I'm bringing Berta along with me.
I love it. Well, I'm really looking forward to your book and your next show. So when is it your book is coming out? And is it available for pre-order yet?
It's not available yet. They're hoping to have it available this summer for pre-order. Okay. But it will be coming out early next year. We don't have an exact date. But yeah, we're doing the final edits now. And because mental health, and teachers know, because whether they're struggling with their own mental health or not, they probably have a lot of kids, even young kids are struggling with mental health, especially with everything we've gone through with the pandemic and all that. That's just increased so much. I want to get this one right. Not that I didn't get the last one right, but this book, it's like an extra level of pressure. And I just want to know that if, not to sound dramatic, but if somebody can learn how to even a little bit better support someone who is suicidal, like my son was for years, or who is struggling in any way, I want to make sure that I do it right, if that makes sense. So I'm not rushing it, which is why originally we thought it would come out this year. And I was like, we can't rush this. Let's do it right. So it should be coming out early next year.
I'm really excited. But in the meantime, they can grab your current book too, which is Hold On, But Don't Hold Still. So good. You get a lot more about Christina's story that you heard earlier in this. And honestly, the whole story from Oprah and all of the things, but also a lot about like your parenting. And I actually need to pick it up and read it again because it's been a little bit. I like devoured it when it first came out and like listened to it and read it. So good. I was really inspired by it. So I loved it.
Thanks. You know what's crazy is the last chapter of that book, of my first book, ends with me saying, the beginning of the last chapter starts with me saying how I broke down in public. I was out with my mother-in-law and I cried into a spinach dip because parenting got really hard. And at the time, my oldest son had not been public about his struggles. And I always, anything I write about, put in my videos, anything about my children, my spouse, it has been approved by them. I will never share anything that I don't have their blessing to share. And at that point, I wasn't going to ask for my son's blessing. He was struggling. So it's a very vague chapter about going through the hardest part of parenting I've ever gone through. And, you know, I write about it. I give these like hints of what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show up. I'm just trying to show up for him. Mm-hmm. And it was so crazy because when I wrote that chapter and I wrote it through tears because we were really in fact, that chapter was supposed to be something else. The book was done. It was sent to the publisher, everything. And I ended up calling my editor at Penguin Random House. They're the ones that published the book. And I said, I have to change the last chapter because we have something new happening in our lives. And I know other people can relate. And even if I don't go into specifics, people who are struggling with it will recognize it, which people did. It was so crazy. They're like, is your son struggling with mental health? So she let me like last minute change that chapter. It was so crazy that when I was writing it and crying through that chapter, I had no idea that now I would be writing this book with my son's blessing and he would be doing so much better. And so it's almost like if you're planning on reading the second book, I would definitely suggest reading the first one. Because in a weird way, it's a sequel, even though but it'll show you, the first one I feel like shows you, I also talk about the mistakes I made as a parent and sort of my growth of like learning.
Yeah. Well, we are going to put the link in the show notes to your book, to Hold On But Don't Hold Still. And is there anywhere they should sign up to be like notified when your next book comes out with your son?
Yeah. So if you just go to my website, ChristinaKuzmich.com/subscribe. So it's my name, with K, Christina with K, and then last name, KUZMIC.com/subscribe. I do not send weekly emails. I don't do any of that because frankly, I don't have time, but I will only send you an email if I have a new tour. So you'll see the cities I'm coming to. And that way you can get tickets if I'm coming near you. Or I will send an email when my book is released. And occasionally we'll do a giveaway, like we're starting this thing where I'm going to Zoom one-on-one with people and stuff like that. But so really you're going to get like maybe 3 emails a year from me. but yeah, I would suggest subscribing because then you'll have all the info. And especially if I'm coming to a city near you, I love meeting you guys in person. That's one of my favorite things.
Yes. And if she is coming to a city near you, you should go because it's so good. I've gone twice now. And when she comes back, I will be there again. So cannot wait. So worth it. But if they're not, they can join us at Educate and Rejuvenate, which is going to be an amazing time. And you'll be there and tons of other amazing people will be there too. Why do you think if they've enjoyed this podcast, they've listened in almost 50 minutes of this, why should they join us at the event?
I mean, I just think for me, support groups, and that's what it feels like. This event feels like a big like party / support group. I don't know if I'm describing it right, but that's what it feels like to me. Oh, yeah,
it is.
That has helped me so much throughout my life. And even, again, I'm writing this book about my son. And one of the things that helped him the most as he was struggling is he started joining support groups. And it actually helped him more than, you know, therapy is great and he had to take medication for a while. But the support groups are actually what helped him the most. So I just think being able to join with a bunch of other people who are struggling through similar stuff and to laugh and to feel less alone and to feel encouraged and to maybe leave going, oh, I didn't think of it that way. Well, that's helpful. So I think it'll be an amazing 2 days. And I really believe from the setup you have and just knowing your heart and, you know, how you're trying to encourage people, I really think it'll be one of those 2 days that could really have a powerful impact on people's lives. So I'm honored to be part of it. I'm so honored to be a part of it. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. We did it last year. And just from the feedback we got last year, one of them that I posted on Instagram, like it honestly made me cry and tear up because it was, we had some tech issues and everything. It was our first year, which this year we anticipate we're not going to have because we learned from it. But she said, despite the tech issues, it was incredible. And she went into it and she was like, it is what made me feel like I have the fire under me. Wife Teacher Mommy is a community that I'm always going to be a part of.
And
it was longer. That's like what I can summarize. Actually reading it would have been better. But just knowing how it made a difference, like in seeing from them the difference it made in their lives. And that's what makes it like my team has been working on this since January and will continue to work on it till even after the event is over, like wrapping things up. But it's so worth it because of how much it helps teachers. And we did want to make it an affordable price point. So like they can come and enjoy it. So
no, love that. And I love that it exists. I mean, I just think what a gift to teachers, right? I feel like every community needs that. Just a place where everybody else is struggling through similar stuff and you can all laugh about it, but also share tips of what's helped you. So I think it's incredible. I'm so glad you're doing this. And by the way, if there are technical issues, again, nothing's supposed to be perfect in life. It's right. All good. whenever I have any kind of issues, I'm like, oh, good. I'm showing whoever's on the other end of this that, you know what? It's okay. Mistakes happen and there's nothing to, you know, worry about. Things go wrong in life. I almost feel like it gives people permission to just not beat themselves up when stuff on their end goes wrong. So there you go. I hope you have technical issues.
So true. The interesting thing is, so there were a few people who, so there was a Facebook group component and we're doing that again this year because I love the community, but there are a few people who were complaining about it and I get it because they're frustrated about figuring out how to get on. But then there were tons of people in the comments just like defending us and saying that, oh they're giving it so much. And so I'm like, okay, people see that we're trying. You know, I just went to Taylor Swift Eras Tour and for one of her surprise songs, she played This Is Me Trying, which is one of my favorites of hers because it's like, yeah, at least I'm trying. It's weird trying to do this big event that we'd never done. It was scary. Like, how are we going to put on this conference and get all these people together and everything? But we did it. And we did it, you know?
Which is amazing. And the people complaining, I would really like to know all the conferences they threw. Like, I thought, what you're doing with your life, really.
Right.
Don't worry about those people.
Christina, we're so excited to have you at the event and have had you on the podcast today. So you shared where they can subscribe. Where else would you recommend sending our listeners?
I mean, again, Facebook, although Facebook algorithms are weird sometimes. So a lot of people are saying they don't see my videos. Instagram, I post my videos. I post actually extra videos on Instagram that don't go on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel and then I joined TikTok and I don't know if I'm going to stay there, but my kids are thoroughly embarrassed that their mother is making TikTok videos.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm still trying to figure out TikTok too. I don't quite get it yet. I'm like, we're on there.
Every time my daughter like follows certain people and she really is not one of those people that posts very much, but she follows certain people and she thinks I'm very uncool. And then every time I notice that somebody she's following, I have even like one extra follower more than them. I like, make sure she knows that. Like, well, I have so-and-so. And she's like, Mom, you're still not cool.
So, that's so funny.
Having children is really humbling.
It really is, for sure.
Great.
My daughter wants to be a TikTok star now. We posted one video on our TikTok. And our TikTok, we have like 200 followers or something. But this video of her got like over 20,000 views and tons of comments It was her. We were doing a fixing sentences worksheet. That was one that we created. And so I asked her what was wrong with this sentence. And it was like that there wasn't a period or something. But she said that what was wrong with it, it says, I want to eat pizza. And what she said was wrong is they did not say please.
Oh my gosh. That's
so that video like went viral. And now she's like, can we do more? And she wants to be a YouTuber and stuff. So I'm like, I guess if she wants to, maybe I can do more videos with her. She's so hilarious.
That is so cute. I love that. I'm going to have to go check it out.
I'll have to send that one to you. But yeah, we will link to a bunch of your, I'll find your teacher videos and we'll link to those. And that M&M one. Was there another one you mentioned that you would want them to see?
Tell ourselves.
Yes. Okay. So we will get all those. We'll put them all in the show notes so you can see some of Christina's like top videos for teachers and homeschool moms there. Thank you so much for your time today, Christina. And we are so excited to have you at Educate and Rejuvenate this year.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm honored that you asked me to speak.
If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you're ready to take the next step, I would love for you to purchase a ticket to join me live at Educate and Rejuvenate Summer 2024, the education event of the year happening on July 16th and 17th this year. We have two incredible keynote speakers, Gaspar Randazzo, who's a teacher and stand-up comedian who was featured on Netflix on the show The Trust just recently, and Christina Kuzmich, who is an incredible best-selling author, video creator, influencer, mom, amazing person who was also our keynote last year. She's back. Everybody loved her so much. We have an incredible lineup of additional speakers teaching on topics such as math, language arts, reading, social-emotional learning, classroom management, homeschooling, and tackling burnout. This year, we have a super clear teacher track and a parent track for homeschoolers. And your ticket gets you access to whichever track you like, or you can even watch sessions from both if you want to. We will start the day all together with a workout each morning. We'll have panels with the speakers. Plus, you'll get to join me for some live life coaching, as well as with some of our other club coaches. It is the best professional development you could ever attend. There are prizes, lives, thousands of like-hearted educators all coming together. And all of this is happening from the comfort of your own home. So go to educateandrejuvenate.com now to learn more about the 2024 event. Or if you're listening to this later, that link will show you what is up next as we'll continue to do events like these. And I hope to see you at the next one.